Trend number one, get on board the equity train now. The world is awash in liquidity. Real interest rates are negative. The global economy is just beginning to come roaring back after the self-imposed shutdown. A whole new generation of technology is just beginning to drive a new wave of productivity gains. Fiscal policy is supercharging business and consumer demand. Taxes are likely to stay low, and business leaders are unusually optimistic about future earnings. Yet market turmoil is reversing gains in the stocks of some of the most innovative companies. Why is this happening? What lies ahead for stocks in 2021? And what risks and opportunities will this create for investors? We'll show you.
Trend number two, countering America's demographic headwind. Among the growth challenges cited by many economists are rapidly aging and shrinking populations around the world. To what extent do these headwinds impact the United States? What can we learn from Japan and other hard-hit countries? And what's the realistic outlook for U.S. economic growth in the decade ahead? We'll show you.
Trend number three, training service robots for the mainstream. Industrial robots have been part of the mainstream for decades, and with better sensors, advanced AI-based processing, and economies of scale driving down costs, they are taking on even more of the grueling work in factories. Service robots, on the contrary, have been very slow to reach commercialization. The biggest barrier remains training these robots to perform in complex real-world environments. Fortunately, recent developments are chipping away at this barrier. What are these developments? What hurdles remain? And how will service robots impact our lives and pocketbooks in the coming decade? We'll show you.
Trend number four, science overcomes barriers to a hydrogen economy. As we've explained in previous trends issues, utility-level solar and wind energy are not practical because they are unreliable and intermittent. Fortunately, solutions to these problems and many more involve better ways to produce and use one of the world's most important industrial chemicals. What chemical is this? How will it transform the economics of renewable energy? And what are the implications? We'll show you.
Trend number five, what's ahead for blockchain? Blockchain technology promises to be one of the most transformative technologies of the fifth techno-economic revolution. Yet it remains widely misunderstood, largely because of excessive focus on the speculative cryptocurrency markets. As a result, surprisingly few people have solid answers to key questions about this technology, including how does blockchain work, what is the value of having a blockchain for financial transactions, what lies ahead for Bitcoin and its peers, and how is blockchain likely to impact the business world in the decade ahead? We'll show you. Trend number one, get on board the equity train now. The trends editors usually focus on scenarios playing out over 3 years or more. For example, the fifth techno-economic revolution is expected to last over 60 years, having begun in 1972 and continuing into the mid-2030s. The current golden age of this revolution is likely to run up to 15 years, followed by perhaps 7 years of maturity. Those who don't recognize that secular trend, including most investors in passive index investments, are erroneously expecting subpar equity returns over the coming decade, and that's causing them to run for the hills every time the market hits a soft patch. Meanwhile, the trends editors foresee an era of strong performance, particularly for the stocks of companies embracing the transformative power of AI, 5G, genomics, and the Internet of Things. As always, the dominant drivers will be technology, demography, and long-term behavioral trends. Shorter term, it is cyclical trends which dominate. Cyclical trends are more obvious than secular trends, and they are much more likely to be influenced by the decisions of policymakers. And inevitably, it's these short-term trends that drive virtually all of the content in the Wall Street Journal, on business cable shows, and in market newsletters. Even the Economic Insights column in our sister publication, Business Briefings, features guidance for those making short and medium-term decisions. The challenge is to avoid fooling oneself by trying to explain every up or down that occurs in terms of causal agents. The futility of that exercise was first quantified in a research paper titled Large Financial Crashes, published in 1997 in the European scientific journal Physica A. In part, the researchers said stock markets are fascinating structures with analogies to what is arguably the most complex dynamical system found in the natural sciences, that is, the human mind. Instead of the usual interpretation of the efficient market hypothesis, in which traders extract and incorporate consciously, by their action, all information contained in market prices, we propose that the market as a whole can exhibit an emergent behavior not shared by any of its constituents. In other words, we have in mind the process of the emergence of intelligent behavior at the macroscopic scale that individuals at the microscopic scale have no idea of. This process has been discussed in biology, for instance, in animal populations such as ant colonies, or in connection with the emergence of consciousness. This means investors face a situation analogous to problem solving in the classical world versus the quantum world. Stock markets are deterministic and predictable at the long-term macro level, but problemistic and unpredictable at the short-term micro level. That explains why market timers almost always underperform the indices. They are trying to predict the unpredictable. Meanwhile, Warren Buffett and other successful buy-and-hold investors do the work necessary to make the most of predictable long-term performance trends. It's almost impossible to say what's going to happen next week or even next month. Even next year is tricky. However, following the medium and long-term trends lets us make solid predictions about the economy and stock market beyond the current year. For instance, we can confidently say that the secular bull market that began in 2013 remains firmly intact. Furthermore, we can confirm that the cyclical bull market that began in March 2020 is still following a very rational multi-year trajectory, given today's rebounding macroeconomic context. Based on that understanding, the trends editors are prepared to explain why we believe 2021 will be a great year for stocks, despite recent anxiety. Consider the facts. The Democrats just enacted a $1.9 trillion stimulus bill into law. This huge fiscal boost is far larger than was needed to get us to the other side of the COVID-19 reopening process. As of mid-March, the world was already in a global economic recovery. Healthcare and economic planners finally had their arms around the coronavirus pandemic. Reopening continued to accelerate, and business activity was picking up quickly, even in the industries most hurt by the shutdowns, such as airlines and hospitality. For at least the remainder of this year, financial markets will continue to climb the proverbial wall of worry as investors watch a tug of war among competing forces. These forces include a rapidly improving economy with rising inflationary pressure, an accommodative Fed willing to accept higher inflation until unemployment declines to pre-pandemic levels, a steepening yield curve, and businesses reporting much higher earnings, cash flows, and returns on invested capital. While the equity markets could certainly correct briefly sometime this year, any such correction will simply be an opportunity to buy stocks of companies poised to benefit from the growth surge. Why? The biggest short-term reason for rising stock prices is the unprecedented worldwide glut of excess liquidity already looking for a home, and trillions more is on the way. In fact, it appears that we are only in the early innings of a supercharged economic recovery that will last for several more years. That means it's time to be an investor, not a trader. Buy the stocks that meet all of your criteria and only sell them if they begin to fall short on key metrics. For over a year, we've known that the speed and sustainability of the global economic recovery depended on getting our arms around the coronavirus, which, as we all know, was the cause of the severe recession in the second quarter of 2020. Fortunately, news on that front is getting better by the week as the number of cases and deaths continues to fall sharply and the number of people getting vaccinated increases substantially week by week. As of mid-March, nearly 2 million doses per day were being distributed in the United States, and as vaccine availability improves, this will accelerate. After signing the new $1.9 trillion stimulus bill, President Biden said he expects all adults to be eligible for COVID vaccines by May 1st. And he anticipates that we will be able to gather in small groups anywhere in the country by the 4th of July. This seems like a pretty low hurdle, since it's clear that Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J will have more than enough vaccines available for all Americans by the summer and for everyone in the entire world well before year end. And billions more vaccines and boosters will be available in 2022 if needed. Despite the fact that the reopening has a ways to go, the U.S. and the global economy have already rebounded from the virus, months ahead of where most analysts expected it to be at the middle of March. In fact, the recent statistics are nothing short of phenomenal when you consider that we have just begun accelerated business and school openings. For example, final demand for goods rose 1.4% in February, exactly the same as the jump we saw in January. The index for final demand services rose 0.1% in February after increasing 1.3% in January. U.S. job openings, known as JOLTS, increased to 6.92 million, a one-year high. New jobless claims fell to 712,000, a multi-month low, and the consumer sentiment index rose to 83, a 12-month high. In February and March, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, or FUD, was irrationally revved up by the specter of 1970-style inflation depressing earnings and multiples. However, the facts imply that this fear is unwarranted. The U.S. inflation data for February 2021 showed an increase of 0.4% overall, resulting in an annualized 1.7% rise in the Consumer Price Index, or CPI. At this point, the main drivers of the CPI remain energy and food, with the core index rising just 1.3%. For March 2021, the annualized rate will increase due to the lockdown-related slump in energy prices in March through June 2020, but these one-off impacts on the index will subside later in the year. Meanwhile, the five-year inflation expectations as of February were running at 2.1%, as indicated in Exhibit 1 in the printable issue. Notably, some economists fear that as consumers emerge from the lockdowns, buoyed by government stimulus, the surge in demand for manufactured products may not be immediately satisfied, potentially driving up prices. Expected supply tightness can already be seen in the shortage of shipping capacity, as well as in an uptick in commodity prices. Furthermore, the producer price index for manufacturing in China has started to pick up, surpassing early 2019 levels, as indicated in Exhibit 2 in the printable issue. Fortunately, these price pressures are likely to be temporary, given that most firms can quickly ramp up incremental production capacity. That's largely because the labor force participation rate in the U.S. remains quite low compared to the 1990s and early 2000s, meaning that labor rates are not likely to surge as unemployment falls. Today, globalization is even more important than labor force slack in preventing a surge in labor costs. The U.S. economy is now three times more open than it was during the 1970s. Greater trade openness places major downward pressure on nominal wages because goods and services can be offshored if wages become too uncompetitive. That means that rather than obsessing about inflation, investors need to recognize that the biggest driver of medium-term economic growth and share prices will be the extraordinary level of liquidity in the financial system, with much more on the way. This liquidity surge is one reason U.S. households' net worth grew to $130.2 trillion at year-end 2020, boosted by rising stock prices, higher residential real estate values, and record household savings rates. Further boosting spending power, consumer debt rose in the fourth quarter of 2020 at the fastest rate in 13 years, with an annualized increase of 6.5%. That was mostly due to mortgage refinancing at historically low rates. On the other hand, business debt increased in the fourth quarter of 2020 at an annual rate of only 0.8%, while government debt increased at an annualized rate of 10.9% in that period. Low corporate debt service costs, plus consumers freed from lockdowns and flush with cash, is a formula for surging earnings, ultimately reflected in capital gains. So, what's the bottom line? Trends is forecasting a supercharged economic recovery in 2021, likely extending through 2022. There is certainly plenty of buying power to fuel this scenario. At the end of 2020, Americans had a household net worth of $130.2 trillion. Then the government passed a $1 trillion stimulus bill at the beginning of 2021, followed by a $1.9 trillion additional stimulus bill in early March, which may be followed this summer by a multi-trillion dollar bill focused on infrastructure projects. That would be an additional $5 plus trillion in stimulus this year on top of last year's stimulus, which many consumers saved, contributing to the record year-end net worth figure. Not surprisingly, the OECD raised its economic forecasts for 2021, saying that U.S. stimulus will turbocharge world growth as Europe lags. It increased its world growth forecast to 5.6% from 4.2%, and more than doubled its forecast for U.S. growth to 6.5%. The European countries still need to accelerate their vaccination programs. Their central banks need to remain extraordinarily accommodative, and their fiscal policies need to be highly stimulative. In line with this recipe, the ECB decided in mid-March to speed up bond purchases so as to prop up the European economies further. And we expect the Bank of Japan will further tweak its policies to boost growth. All this good news supports our global growth thesis. Therefore, the trends editors conclude that the world now has all the stimulus that's needed to support and boost global growth. And as excess liquidity drives financial asset values higher, the tailwinds will continue to reassure equity investors. Therefore, as we're putting the virus in the rearview mirror, we have entered a period of extraordinary economic growth and prosperity. We can already see that the period immediately ahead will be boosted by stimulative fiscal policies, accommodative monetary policies, and the trillions of dollars worth of excess liquidity already in the financial system. Since this liquidity is far beyond real economic needs, it will inevitably drive up the value of risk assets. The key is to be on board as the train leaves the station sometime in April. Given this trend, we offer the following forecasts for your consideration. First, the yield curve will continue to slowly steepen, but it will do so for all the right reasons, including accelerating global growth, increasing capacity utilization, rising inflationary expectations, and increasing loan demand. Most importantly, given 2021 earnings, the 10-year Treasury yield would have to roughly double from current levels to make the S&P 500 overvalued, and that's highly unlikely. Second, inflation will definitely run above 2% for a while, but it's not something to be concerned about long term. After rising to 2.4%, the Fed expects inflation to fall back to 2% following an initial period of adjustment to the post-lockdown demand surge. The trends editors see consumer prices contained by much higher productivity, global competition, technological advancements, and disruptive innovators popping up everywhere. And in any case, the Fed is now committed to keeping short-term interest rates near zero until at least 2023. Regardless of inflationary signals. Third, market multiples are peaking, but there is every reason to expect that they will stay elevated for quite some time. We are in a period of rapid economic growth when relevant multiples should be defined by future profits, not trailing earnings. The S&P 500's forward PE of 20.5 is higher than the long-term average, but consistent with norms seen during past economic booms. Therefore, there is little reason to worry as long as you're investing in economically sensitive companies whose earnings, cash flow, and return on invested capital are likely to surprise on the upside due to accelerating growth, rebuilding of inventories, pricing improvements, and operating margin increases. Fourth, the S&P 500 index will end 2021 at 4,500 to 4,700 after a strong upturn starting in April. consider just four statistically significant bullish signals, indicated by a Z-score of 2.0 or higher, that have occurred during the first quarter of 2021, and what they may portend for the rest of the year. The first signal has to do with volatility. On February 25th, the VIX jumped more than 40%, and the index was above 30 intraday. Between 1990 and 2021, whenever this has happened, the S&P 500 has been up 6 months and 1 year later, 100% of the time. The average six-month rise was 21.5%, and the average one-year rise was 24.4%. The second signal has to do with market breadth. On January 27th, the number of S&P 500 stocks which were above their 50-day moving average dropped more than 20%, while more than 75% of S&P 500 stocks remained above their 200-day moving average. Between 1928 and 2020, whenever this has happened, the S&P 500 has been up 2 months later, 96% of the time. The average rise has been 7.6% 2 months later and 19.4% 1 year later. The third signal has to do with the ongoing recovery of global stock markets. On January 8th, fewer than 20% of stock markets in other countries were in correction for the first time in more than 9 months. Between 1971 and 2020, whenever this has happened, the S&P 500 has been up 100% of the time, both 6 months later and 1 year later. The average six-month rise was 10.7%, and the average one-year rise was 18.2%. And the fourth signal involves stock market corrections. The NASDAQ Composite has recently experienced a correction of greater than 10% within 1 month of an all-time high. This is actually a very bullish sign. Between 1971 and 2021, whenever this has happened, the NASDAQ Composite has been up 1 year later, 90% of the time, and the 1 year rise has averaged 43%. The message of history is clear. Despite all the articles and talking heads to the contrary, this is still a bull market, and it likely has much higher levels to reach in the months and years ahead. Pullbacks are buying opportunities rather than shorting opportunities. And fifth, portfolios focused on the stocks of companies with new business models, extraordinary competitive positioning, and revolutionary technologies will substantially outperform the major market indices. Consider the Pair 5 strategy in which the trends editors invest. It has generated a total return of over 27% a year, compounded since 1998. Over that period, the S&P 500 index returned 8.28% annually, and the NASDAQ Composite Index returned 9.71% annually. While past performance is no guarantee of future results, this track record suggests that consistent application of a time-tested, rules-based strategy can produce 2 to 3 times the annualized returns of the major indices. If you'd like to find out more about the Pair 5 strategy and whether it might have a role in meeting your financial objectives, call 630-399-1319 or email carolyn.thur@ampf.com.